All right, brethren, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And I want to begin reading in verse 8 and read over to verse 23. It says, "Then the king of Syria," this was an enemy king, "he warred against Israel, and he took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.'" It's where I'm going to camp. And the man of God, that's Elisha the prophet. He's a picture of Christ. Elisha the prophet. The man of God sent unto the king of Israel. He sent word to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Multiple times he was saved because Elisha warned him, "Don't go there." It's a picture of Christ directing his people. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He called his servants. He said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Christ knows the heart of every single sinner in this world. He knows the heart and the secret you speak in your bedchamber. That's what we have pictured here. And he said, "Go, spy where he is, and I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he's in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And now here's a picture of us who believe on Christ. And when the servant of the man of God, he was the servant of Elisha, picture of Christ's servant, "he was risen early, gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. He walked out that morning, he looked up, and there's he surrounded with horses and chariots, king of Assyria. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?' And Elisha answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.' And Elisha prayed," he interceded to the Lord. Picture of Christ interceding for us. You see there, he comforted his servant, said to him, "Fear not, Christ is our prophet." He comforts us. And then Elisha prayed. He interceded with the Lord for him. And he said, "I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Our Lord Jesus is able to smite the enemy with blindness. And look what he did. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, I'll bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. He led them away from his people. And it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" The king of Israel said this to the prophet. "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And listen, and he answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow?" Christ is just. He's just. And look what he did. He said, "Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And so the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Our Lord Jesus is able to blind his enemies, turn them from his people, and provide them a full provision of earthly bread and water so that they're content with what they have. and they go to their master and they don't bother God's people. He's able to do that. You see all this beautiful picture of Christ in this? Now notice the place where this occurred. It says back up there in verse 13, it says, "Behold, it was in Dothan." That means two wells or a double feast. And what the enemy of God's people means as a defeat and destruction of his people. Our Lord Jesus Christ turns into a double feast for his child, a double blessing from the wells of salvation. How so? Well, one, Christ proves to us that he is our prophet, priest, and king. He proves to us he's our savior, our defender, our protector, our all. And at the same time that he does this, he teaches us once again that faith is of him, that he increases it by this work, and he teaches us not to judge by the seeing of the eye, the hearing of the ear. He gives you spiritual discernment, true judgment, true judgment. Now, first of all, we see the danger of natural sight, and we see the value of spiritual sight, and we see that this spiritual sight is of God. Now, the danger of carnal sight. Now, this servant of the man of God, he's a picture of a believer. He rose up early, and he went forth, and behold, verse 15, it says, "And behold, he saw this host around the city, horses and chariots." And he was the servant to Elisha. Now, picture of a believer here. Faithful servant. He rose up early. He's ready to serve the Lord, do whatever the Lord called him to do. He was ready to do it, just like his people are. And he goes out and he sees this big host of enemies around him. And his faith and his strength and his zeal just went away. It all went away. And he cried out in discouragement. He said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" You can just imagine how you would feel if you walked out and there's this enemy nation around you, surrounded with all their army, ready to strike. And he didn't have any more zeal to do what it was he set out to do. Natural sight sees the danger, but it doesn't see the deliverer. Doesn't see the deliverer. Doesn't see the deliverance. Only sees what you see with these eyes and only hears what you hear with these ears. But what appears to physical sight as a total impossibility is God manifesting his great ability. Whatever appears to us like it's a total impossibility, God's ordained it to show his people that he has full ability to save his people no matter what. Think about it. Our Lord, it's like he stacked the deck against himself to show us this. He cast the devil, one of his created angels, out of heaven with a third of the host of the fallen angels. He cast them out into the earth to work wickedness. He permitted them to enter the garden and Adam to sin and plunge the whole world into sin. He gave 613 laws at Sinai. He allowed Israel to just come into total bondage and the world to just be so corrupted until it was a point where it was obvious man by his wisdom can't know God. Man by his wisdom can't work out of righteousness. Man by his wisdom can't please God. I mean, it was obvious that we were ruined. And the Lord Jesus Christ came forth, made of a woman, made under the law. Not one law in a perfect garden. All these laws in this sin-cursed earth with all this host of enemies surrounding him. And accomplished our redemption. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything too hard for the Lord? we see our sin and we see our enemies and we start to doubt, and unbelief causes us to fear. And our Lord Jesus Christ has, he works things so many times this way to hedge us in to where there's just no possibility for you to do anything to save yourself. Look at the children of Israel at the Red Sea. He hedged them in on all sides with that, and had Pharaoh's army barreling down on them, and there was nothing they could do. Nothing. And he put them there on purpose. And then he told Moses, "Now you tell them, stand still. Don't lift a finger and see the salvation of the Lord." And he saved them. And he saved them. He's constantly, he came to us like we were that impotent man on that porch and couldn't do anything. And what did he do? Spoke. Made you willing. You believed him. Look over to Deuteronomy 31. Here's a picture. Here's a beautiful picture right here. Deuteronomy 31, and look at verse. Moses is a picture of the law. He couldn't carry them to Canaan. Joshua was a picture of Christ. He's the one that's going to lead them into Canaan. But Moses, the law, bears witness of Christ. And it says, Christ is the righteousness of God. Justice is satisfied. And here's what the law says for us. This is one of the reasons God's people delight in the law of God. This is what the law says to us, and it's what the law says concerning Christ. He said in verse 3, Deuteronomy 31:3, "The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said." You see Christ in that? The law says, Joshua's going to deliver you. Jesus is going to deliver you. The Lord Jesus is going to bring you into the promised land. He said, look down at verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." This is Moses speaking. And this is a picture of the law, what we hear the law say, because Christ has satisfied justice for us. The Lord's going to be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Don't be afraid. The Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee. Moses called Joshua. Now here's the law bearing witness of Christ. And this is what he said to Joshua. "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers, the land he entered covenant to give. Thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." The law shows us Christ, who has satisfied it. And the law, when we see the law and all its demands, by the Spirit of God, we hear the law say of Christ, he must, he shall deliver you. He satisfied justice. The covenant of God is fulfilled. He must deliver his people into the promised land. So fear not. He's going with you. He will deliver you. Be of good courage. And that's what he teaches us. And that's the only way, brethren, that we're ever saved from unbelief. This is how he saved us when he called us, and he keeps calling us with his message. And look now at the value of faith. Back there in 2 Kings 6, we have a picture of Christ speaking to us personally. Elisha answered, and he said to this servant, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Our Lord Jesus teaches us to fear not. And he declares to us just what Elisha declared to this young believer. He declares that the unseen things, the things that only faith beholds, he speaks of the unseen thing, things only faith beholds. And he says, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now you think about this. Think of how, I mean, put yourself in the place of this servant. And if you walked out of that tent or whatever, wherever that morning, and you looked up and you saw enemies surrounding you, ready to kill you. That would be trouble, wouldn't it? That would trouble you greatly. But here Elisha speaks to him about something this boy couldn't see. But when he gets finished, he's going to see that that trouble that he received in comparison to what the Lord taught him was nothing. That's what Paul said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It's God working for us. The light affliction that seems like the enemies are surrounding us and we're about to be destroyed. The light affliction worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, because by his grace he makes us look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The only way we see God's glory is by faith. Remember what the Lord told Martha, if you'll believe, you'll see my glory. If you believe, you'll see my glory. Hebrews 11 gives us a cloud of those witnesses. Let's go look over there and see them. Hebrews 11, we'll just read some of these. Verse 7. By faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whether he went. Didn't see it. Just went. Faith's not a blind leap. Faith's not a blind leap. Faith's trusting God. That's not a blind leap. You can't do anything more secure than trust God. Look down at verse 32. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Baruch, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Who would have thought that this 90-year-old woman named Sarah would have produced a child, would have had a child? Well, she didn't produce him, but would have had a child. But by faith, she believed God. And she did. She did. God is going to save us in a way that, and always does it this way, that seems utterly impossible to you and me. It is utterly impossible to you and me, because that's the only way we'll trust him. If we can do one thing to save ourselves, if we can fix it, we'll try to fix it. He's going to make it where you can't fix it. You can't. He can, and he will. He'll bring all hell against you. He'll wage war against you in your own flesh and with the army surrounding you, and head you up to where you can't do anything but believe him and trust him. Isn't that what we're trying to speak to one another? Believe God, trust God. Or that's the goal, isn't it? Believe God, trust him. I believe he can work that in his people. Can't you say this of yourself? If I still believe the Lord, it's only by his grace. I can't. I don't have it in me. It's only by his grace. I see the enemies in the mountain surrounding when I just look at myself. Can you say that? Doesn't he save us against all possibility of salvation from our own selves? That's how he does it. Now look at Elisha here as a fellow believer. We see that when God gives faith, we're able to comfort our fearful brethren as Elisha comforted this young believer. This young believer was terrified. He was terrified at what he saw. And Elisha, he didn't say, get in there and get your sword. He didn't say, none of these carnal things. Here's what he said to him. Fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Do you believe that, child of God? That's so for all his people. For you and I sitting here, they that be with us are more than are with the enemies of God. Elisha's confidence was the same as the Apostle John. He said, you are of God, little children. Greater, and have overcome the enemy, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're of God, little children. He didn't make this boy feel ashamed that he didn't have faith. He didn't make him ashamed for it. Unbelief is, that's the worst sin there is, isn't it? And he didn't make him ashamed for it. What did he do? Turned him back to the Lord and said, you're just like John said, you're of God, little children. What a great combination, is it not? Almighty God our Father and little children. Weak little children. You're of God, chosen of God the Father in Christ unto salvation. And you have already overcome all the enemies by Christ Jesus. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received with the Lord's hand double for all her sin. To the young believer's physical sight, it looked like God's people were sheep ready for the slaughter. Fish in a barrel. In all these things, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Faith said, nope. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Our consolation is that all the enemies of God's people are God's enemies. They're doing his bidding. Why was these enemies there? Why was the king of Syria surrounding them? God sent them there to teach us, sitting right here today, this lesson. To teach that young man that lesson and to teach you and I this lesson. Fear not. Fear not men. Fear not carnal weapons. Fear not the slanderer, the accuser, the sinner, yourself, or any other. Fear God. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I'll praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That count our own? Counts our own. We don't underestimate the power of the devil. We don't underestimate sin. We don't underestimate this world. But our Redeemer is greater than all, brethren. What do we see Thursday night? Sanctify the Lord of hosts. Regard him as being the greatest, the Savior, the Redeemer, the conquering King. Sanctify the Lord of hosts. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he'll be for a sanctuary. But he'll be for a rock of stumbling to the enemy. God's provided his elect righteousness in Christ his Son, and Christ has delivered us from the power of sin, Satan, death, judgment, and hell. It's done. What about my sin? What about my sin? You sinned any sin today that, if you had any thoughts today that were sinful, have you had them before? Just stop having them. I had a brother one time that was in a terrible, terrible, terrible affliction. And another brother came up to him, and I'm not speaking light of this brother because this was a needful thing for him and for my elder friend. But he was going through this terrible, terrible thing, and this believer came up to him and said, just don't think about it. And he didn't mean any harm by that statement, but it was just such a cold, callous thing to say, don't think about it. And years later, the Lord brought that brother into the exact same trial. I mean, the exact same affliction. Why? To teach us. That's why he does these things, to teach us. Makes you love deeper and sweeter and relish forgiveness and relish mercy and relish patience and temperance and all the fruit of the Spirit. He makes you relish his restraining hand. Makes you relish his power to keep speaking into your heart. And when you look at yourself and you just start wilting because you see the enemy surrounding you, to say, fear not. More with us than there are with your enemies. We need brethren. But when we're the unbelieving, fearful child, God always provides a brother who sees strength in faith to remind us, fear not, there's more with us than there are with them. Fear not. When Ammon and Moab came up against Judah, Jehoshaphat strengthened his brethren just like Elisha was doing. You can find it over in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. He spoke to him. Jehoshaphat said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. This was the prophet speaking. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours but God's. That's why he brings us to these mountains that we can't move, to teach us the battle's not yours, it's God's. It always is. It always is. You want to fight the fight of faith? You want to fight the fight of faith? He said, it's not you, because if you just have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, that mountain will be cast into the sea. Who's going to do that? He said, I'll make the mountains a plain. Not by might, not by power, by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he's so gracious to us to say, if you just have faith as a little grain of mustard seed, I'll do all the rest. You just believe me. I got it. I'm going to do it. That telling us, brethren, the power is not us fighting the fight. Faith is trusting that the battle's not mine. It's his. He got it. And it says, he told them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Fear not, don't be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And then in verse 20, they rose early, they went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And not only did God give them that victory, just like he said he would, they were 3 days collecting the spoils of riches and jewelry from the enemy. He enriched them. And is that not what Christ did for us? He said, stand still, look to the cross, and see the battle's not yours, it's the Lord. And we're still reaping the spoils of his victory and going to reap them for eternity. So David says, God's our refuge. He's our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now we depend on God to give us this. The Lord Elisha prayed. We depend on Christ to intercede for us. And he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Christ prays the Father, and the Father sends the Spirit to us. He draws us to pray to him, ask him. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy word. Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And Christ intercedes for us. And Christ came to give sight to the blind. And when he's given us sight, because he's given us sight, and we've experienced it, without being born again, we can't see the kingdom of God. Because we know it's by him that we see. We're not presumptuous. So that we say, well, I see. That's what the Pharisees did. Are we blind? You saying we're blind? He said, if you'd have been blind, you'd have been given sight. But you say you see, so now you're blind. Left in your blind. But God's people know I need him to constantly save me from my unbelief. I need him to constantly give me faith to behold him and know nothing's changed. And so we pray, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Help my unbelief. And by his grace, the Lord opens our eyes. He said there in verse 2 Kings 6:17, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about. God opens our eyes to see Christ coming forth on his white horse of providence with a sharp two-edged sword going out of his mouth with a host of heavenly angels, and he makes you see by faith. You hear this word, and you know he's got you surrounded, protected. Christ is our refuge. He's our stronghold. All his chariots of fire round about. He said, behold, I've graven you upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls, capital S, salvation, and capital P, praise. That's the walls that surround. That's Christ. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what we say to these things. And when he does this, David prayed sometimes he didn't have sight. He prayed, Lord, please, please speak to me. Restore the joy of your salvation. Heal these bones you've broken. Don't let the heavens be brass to me. But then when the Lord did it, he said, he restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He led me right through this path for his name's sake. Make me see him. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but though I do, I will not fear any evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over all the time. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can't describe the riches of being able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, can you? You can be pining away, looking at your situation, and think, I'm in desperate poverty and have no way of getting out of it. And when you behold Christ and see his unsearchable riches that he is, you say, what poverty? What poverty? You can be so cast down and just unable to rejoice. And when he speaks, you just can't help but rejoice when he gives you faith to see him. You're sitting there and you say, this is an impossibility. I can't do anything. We can't do this. And when he's brought you there, he speaks and he makes you behold him so that you can say, but with Christ, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Our seasons of unbelief don't change God's grace. Not for a child of God, thankfully. Our sins don't change His grace. Our whether we stand or we fall, it doesn't change His grace toward us. His love's everlasting love. Hagar couldn't see the well when she was cast out with Ishmael. She couldn't see the well, but the well was there the whole time. The Lord just had to show her where it was. And that's the same with us. The well's there. It hadn't changed. He just has to turn us and give us eyes to come to that well of salvation and get that double blessing from Him. He shows you He's your deliverer, and He grows you in faith to know, I had no reason to doubt. I pray you bless that.